Amen. As I told you, need a title? It's Fight the Way God Taught You, Part 1, because we're not going to get it all today. I shared with you earlier, in the last time I was with you, I believe, we told you about our grandson, Micah, and the joke he told us. Why wouldn't 6 stand next to 7 in the line? Because 7, 8, 9. Okay. And we found out some spiritual truths in that, because 7 didn't try and eat 6. 7, 8, 9. But 6 was so concerned because of what he saw 7 do, he wouldn't take his place in line. And we found that too many of us make our choices based on the reputation of the adversary. And we don't take the time to consider, but this is where God put me. This is where God, what God said is mine. This is my place in the line, and nothing is going to stop me from getting into my place. But we have to stop getting upset just because we encounter some trouble. I didn't forget about John 3:16. God said, start with Mark 10. So that's what we're going to do, Mark 10. And I'm going to share verses 28 to 31, and I'm going to share them out of the Message Bible. Mark 10, you can follow along in whatever translation you have. They may have it on the screen. I don't know if we have the Message Bible up there yet. Okay. Jesus said, mark my words. No one who sacrifices house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, land, whatever, because of me and the message will lose out. They'll get it all back. They'll get it all back, but multiplied many times in homes, brothers, sisters, mother, children, and land, but also in troubles. But also in troubles. And then the bonus of eternal life. See, we need to understand, folks, while, you know, we go hard after the things of God. We want what he says, but we need to understand that we're going to get it, but we're going to get it with some troubles, with some stuff. And we got the nerve to go to God and complain about it when he already told us this is going to happen. We have to understand that whatever it is that we accomplish, right in the midst of that accomplishment, you're going to have to face some persecution, some trials, some tribulations, many times over. Tell your neighbor, I'm so glad he's talking about you. Okay, no. Look at Psalm 34, verse 19. This is in the Amplified Bible, Classic Edition, which used to be known as the Amplified Bible. It says, many evils confront the consistently righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says, many adversities come to the one who is righteous, but the Lord delivers him from their all. Listen to how the Voice puts it. Hard times may well be the plight of the righteous. They may often seem overwhelmed. Anybody ever felt overwhelmed? But the Eternal rescues the righteous from what oppresses them. See, here's the deal. It doesn't matter how long you pray, how long you fast, how much time you spend reading and studying the Word. It doesn't matter. As long as we live, as long as we're alive, we're going to have to deal with the various forms of persecution. And we'll have to understand, no matter what we face, Jesus will, or really what's more accurate, Jesus has already delivered us from them. already. We have to develop that understanding because stuff is going to come. See, Jesus, he gave us so many warnings. In John 10:10, he said, listen. Well, he didn't actually say, listen, I'm saying that. He said, the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Who told us this was going to happen? So why do we get upset when the thief shows up? You need to say, I've been expecting you, and I got something for you. Jesus said, but I've come so that you may have life and have it. So when a thief shows up, you say, praise God, I'm about to have abundant life. Because I'm not focusing on Jesus. I mean, I'm not focusing on the thief. I'm focusing on Jesus. See, the thief coming to steal, kill, and destroy is not the problem. That's not the problem. Here's the problem. When the thief comes, we don't fight him the way God told us. So we're not fighting according to the rules. We're not. We panic. We start grabbing at scripture, making weak confessions. You know, really acting like the son of Sceva. Really, if you want to break it down. Because this thing has come that we didn't expect, even though we were told they were coming. So we were taken off guard, even though the Holy Ghost will guide us into all truth and show us things to come. And we were surprised. And I always ask this question, would you have felt better if you were not surprised? Okay. See, circumstances, trials, tribulations, you know, adversity doesn't send you a save the date card. Doesn't tell you, look, in 3 weeks, I'm coming. It doesn't tell you that. He just shows up. And we say, I didn't expect this to happen. Why not? Jesus already told us it was going to. Look at 2 Timothy 2, first five verses, and this is in the New International Version. It said, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things you have heard me say. In the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. And we already know that the word says without faith it's impossible to please him. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. There are rules of engagement, folks, for when we stand face to face with adversity. We know that the devil's doesn't fight fairly. He's not a good sport. But the bigger issue is that we have allowed the way the devil attacks us to dictate our response. And we too often we wind up, really actually most of the time, we wind up going after him in our own strength. And in our own strength, we're no match. We're no match. We have to fight the way we've been taught to fight. I mean, that's even a natural principle. Because in boxing matches, I don't care how well that person has been trained, if he takes a hit that rattles his cage, he needs to gather his thoughts back because that knocks out everything he's heard from his coach. And that's why once they get hit and the opponent sees that he's rattled, he pours it on so you don't have a chance to collect your thoughts. That's why the enemy keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. He doesn't want you to remember your training. He wants you to operate in the flesh. Because when he gets us to operate in the flesh, we lose every time. Every time. We have to fight by God's rules regardless of what the devil does, if we expect to experience the victory that we've already been given. See, I was meditating on John 16:33 because I thought we were going an entirely different direction. But the first thing we have to understand is that God never told us that we had to fight the devil. He never told us that. But we'll say in a minute, the devil, I declare war on you. But I never saw it, thou shalt fight the devil. I never saw it. I see some of you look at me and say, yeah, well, I explained Ephesians 6. Because it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of this, you know, spiritual wickedness of this age. Well, he wasn't talking about fighting. See, that's why you have, the Bible says study. It doesn't say read to show yourself approved. It says study. So if when you study out that scripture, you find out something very simple. Because see, wrestling is not the same as fighting. And according to the Strong's Concordance, wrestle, when used in that scripture, it goes to explain that wrestling is a contest between two, which each endeavors to throw the other, and which is decided when the victor is able to hold his opponent down with his hand upon his neck. But the term wrestle is transferred to the Christian struggle with the power of evil. See, so you could say we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's where our struggle is, not our fight. God didn't tell us to fight the devil. We sang in the song, why are we fighting battles that we've already won? We need to understand how to walk in our victory. See, here's one of the ways God taught us to fight. Look at James 4. James 4, verse 7. You have it or you see it? Would you read it out loud? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Do what? Not fight him. Resist the devil, and what will the devil do? He will flee from you. See, resisting is not fighting. And if you find yourself fighting, it's because you wasn't able to resist. And when you can't resist, you have nothing left but to fight. Okay? You have to become very good at resisting. And in order to become very good at resisting, you have to submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to him. So how do you do that when circumstances are running roughshod over you? Well, you go to God. Say, Father, how do you want me to handle this? He'll tell you what to say. He will tell you what to say. And you have to be obedient to say it, believing that that is enough. But if you don't ask, you won't know what to say. See, but also understand this. And I found this amazing when God showed this to me last night. He said, first of all, submit to me because you cannot serve two masters. And I was like, whoa. You need to think about that. If we're not resisting the devil, we're serving him. And we can't resist the devil I mean, we can't serve the devil and God at the same time. So if we're giving in to the devil, guess who we're resisting? God. We have this thing backwards. Do you see that? That's why God said, submit to me. Resist the devil, and the devil will flee. When you get this thing backwards, you wind up fleeing. Fleeing from what? You're running away from what God has told you because you can't see how you can get it done amidst all this turmoil. And all you have to do is submit yourself to God. Well, what does that mean? That means you continue doing what he's told you to do regardless of what you have to face. And your strength and your joy comes from knowing you're in the middle of God's perfect will. And nothing is going to be able to stop you. Yes, you may take a couple of hits. He may get a few jabs in, but he will not be able to deliver a knockout punch. So you've already won. I mean, in the natural, even in a fixed fight, all right, Lord, you must not want me to say the name because you took it out of my head. But there was a boxer who the folks didn't like. I mean, he was just really over-the-top arrogant. And so they conspired. They set him up to break a law that no one ever enforced. And they said, okay, the only way you're going to keep from going to jail is if you lose this next fight, because we don't want you to be champion anymore. But his opponent had to take some blows, even though the opponent knew he was going to win. But he still had to get in the ring and take some blows. And this fighter that was set up, you know, he beat the guy within an inch of knocking him out. And then the guy throws this feeble hand, and then the guy, he falls down and shields his eyes from the glare of the lights, and they count him out. Okay? But even in a fixed fight, you have to take some hits. It shouldn't matter to you because you know that the fight is fixed and you're going to win. See, Jesus resisted the devil by submitting to God when he was in a desert. That's all he just resisted. He said, it is written. That's all. He didn't mush him in the face. He didn't say, I'm tired of you, and punch him in the mouth. He just kept resisting him. And says the devil left for a season. Jesus resisted the devil by submitting to God in the garden, because his body was getting in agreement with what the devil was trying to get Jesus to do. Father, you know you don't want to be crucified. For these people, don't you remember? You know what it's going to be, right? These are the same ones who are like, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. They're going to be screaming, crucify you, and you're going to die for them? You're going to go through all that pain? He's like, Father, not my will, but yours. Be done. Had to do it three times before it went away. So if it took Jesus three times, why do we get upset because it doesn't happen the first time with us? He resisted the devil by submitting to God when he was nailed to the cross. Come down and save yourself. He had the power to do that. As a matter of fact, he told Peter, when Peter cut the man's ear off, he's like, no. Peter, come on, Peter. Here you go, brother. Good as new. He said, don't you know that right now I could pray and God would send down legions of angels? He said, but then how would the scriptures be fulfilled? Thus it must be so. He was resisting the devil. We need to understand we're going to find ourselves in those types of positions, folks. And our only way out is by resisting the devil. See, Jesus was competing according to the rules that were laid out. And he was declared the victor. Look at 2 Corinthians 2. Verse 14, King James Version, says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and," see, we forget the "and" part, "maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." That just means not only does he give us the victory, but wherever we go, people will recognize us as being his children. That's the type of life we're supposed to be living, and it only comes by learning how to fight the way God taught us to fight, resisting the devil. Because it's God through Christ Jesus who causes us to be victorious. Another thing we need to do is we need to let loose the praise and keep it going. That's how we fight. Go to John 16, 33. We're going to spend a little bit of time here. Because I found out that there's a whole lot in this scripture. This is one of those scriptures you're studying out and you get a lot of sub-messages from them. Jesus said, and this is the Amplified Classic, said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration." Anybody ever experienced any of those things? More times than we want to admit, right? But see, then Jesus goes on to say something that we just flat out ignore. We just ignore it. We act like he never said it. Because while you're in the midst of the trials and the tribulation and the distress and the afflictions, Jesus had the nerve to say, "Be of good cheer." Are you kidding me? I feel like I'm being beaten within an inch of my life and you're saying, "Be of good cheer"? I don't think so. And this up here, take courage, be confident, be certain, be undaunted. See, we have to understand a couple of key words in that translation. We have to understand cheer. It's more than a laundry detergent. Okay? And we have to understand undaunted. Cheer has several meanings. I'm going to give you the top three. A shout of encouragement, approval, or congratulations. Be of good cheer. Give good encouragement. Give good approval. A set or traditional form of shout used by spectators to encourage or show enthusiasm for an athletic team or contestant. You got to cheer yourself on. You just cheer yourself on. You can do it, Raina. You say so. You can do this. Raina is dynamite. Don't mess with dynamite. Okay? Because when you mess with dynamite, it goes tick, 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 boom. Okay? You have to cheer yourself on. Letting the enemy know that he's about to experience a burst of the word coming out of you. It also means something that gives joy or gladness, encouragement or comfort. And Jesus said, "You be of good cheer. You cheer yourself on. You encourage yourself. You let yourself know, self, you can do this thing, because you are not doing it in your own strength. You're doing it in the strength that God provided. Self, God already said that he gave us the victory. You have to talk yourself into resisting. You, because usually these things happen in you alone. And the first thing, let me call a prayer partner. You need to fast prayer partners for maybe 60 days. No, I'm serious. And learn how you and God can work things out. Because you'll find yourself in a place with no telephones or cell towers. You can't text anybody. Can't even send them an email. What are you going to do? Go to pieces? No, it needs to be the first thing. Okay, let me call all my prayer partners. I have nothing against prayer partners. I really don't. But you don't need them to have your victory. And we have to understand that us alone with God is more than enough. We have to learn how to fight according to the way he taught us. He said, it says, be undaunted. Does anyone know what undaunted means? That's one of those words, you read it in the scripture, but you just let it go. It says, be undaunted. Okay, and you keep going. It means the two things that it means. And I mean, it's really amazing. That's why the Bible says study. Undaunted means not forced to abandon your purpose. It means not giving way to fear. Jesus is saying, when you find yourself facing tribulation and trials and distress and frustrations, shout praises, make declarations, and keep moving. Don't be forced into abandoning your purpose, and don't give way to fear. That's what he was saying. Now, to us now, that makes more sense. But you have to understand exactly what it is that he's saying. And he said, well, how can you do that? For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. He didn't say, I have taken all the power out of the world. The world still maintains all the power it ever has. It just has no power over you. That's what we have to understand. Jesus says, and I have conquered it for you. See, when he says, in this world, you will have tribulation. How many of you are in this world? Okay. So think about it. I hope everybody raised their hands. I didn't look. If all of that stuff confronts you in this world, and Jesus conquered this world, that means everything in this world is subject to him. Because the world is his domain. And he said he has deprived, taken the power away, taken the rank away from this world as far as we're concerned. See, remember Daniel got thrown in the lion's den? And the king really didn't want to throw him in the lion's den, but he got tricked into making a law. And then he felt he had to fulfill the law. I'm thinking, you're the king, make a new law. Make a law that says the king has the right to change his mind. Okay, you know. So he threw Daniel in the lion's den, and he said something to Daniel that was very telling about where his heart was. He said, may your God whom you serve so faithfully rescue you. All right. And then they sealed it with the stone, and he put his royal seal on it so that no one could go in and rescue Daniel. Then he returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep at all that night. This is out of Daniel 6. Now I'm around verse 19. Very early in the morning, when the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den, when he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you served so faithfully able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, "Long live the king." See, Daniel answered by recognizing the king. First of all, give thanks, the giving of praise to men everywhere, to kings and all that are in authority. He recognized the king. He said, "My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." And the king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he trusted his God. And you think about it, well, you know, God did not take away the power of the lions. He took away the power they would have over Daniel. And it's proven because verse 24 says the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and he had them thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. The lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. Now look at, I'm going to read verse 22 out of the God's Words translation, because it makes a stronger point. It says, "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they couldn't hurt me." Need to understand something, folks. Jesus said he has deprived. That means he's taken away the power of this world so the world can't hurt you. They may try, but they can't hurt you. And he did this because he was innocent. See, just like I said about the lions had superior power, just not over Daniel. The lions, let's think about this. The lions were lords of that den. They were lord. Everything that goes in that den was subject to what they felt like. If they were hungry, you were gone. If they decided they had enough, you could take a few more breaths. But they were lord. Even though Daniel was thrown into their domain, the lords of that domain had no power over Daniel because God said so. Because God was lord over everything. See, here's another way to look at it. Not that they would do anything wrong to hurt anybody, just using this as an illustration. But we have elders and deacons and department heads. And they're lords over their area. Like Lord Little L. And they have power and authority in their area. But if something happened that the pastors were not in agreement with, we can say, "You let your supervisor know that we said this is the way it's going to be." And then they have to submit to what we said because we are the ultimate authority, even though they're lords of their domain. Even though the devil is prince of this world, Jesus took away his rank when it comes to us. When it comes to us, he's not prince over us. He may be prince over these other folks who have not called on the name of Jesus, but those of us that have, the devil is no longer lord over us. Jesus is Lord over all. And we have to understand that. The other thing that Daniel said, that one of the reasons that God shut the lion's mouth is because he was found innocent. Well, the word tells us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So in situations, guess how we're found to be? Innocent. Why? Because Jesus already paid the price for our sins. Remember, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we were healed. And we need to understand that we are righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And because we are righteous, this world can't touch us. We have to learn how to fight the right way. I'm going to give you one more. You have to learn how to use your faith shield. See, again, in a prize fight, you're trained, keep your guard up, not down. You go into a fight like this, you're going to be looking up at the roof. You keep your hands up. Even when you're throwing a punch, you keep it up. So if you see another punch coming, you can block it from this way or this way or this way or this. You can do that. And you always have this one up because the tendency is you drop your right and throw a left and you leave your whole side exposed. So to train boxers, you got to keep your guard up. God said in Ephesians 6, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench some of the fiery darts of the wicked. I misread it. Wherewith you shall be able to quench most of the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, I got it. I'm sorry. Where you'll be able to quench an occasional fiery dart. No, it says you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I don't care how well a defender you are, you're not going to catch all the punches. You're not going to ward all of them off. Some are going to get in. But if you have your shield of faith on, it will quench all of the fiery darts that the wicked one will throw you away. Fiery darts are also known as troubles, tribulation, trials, distress, and frustrations. So all we have to do is make sure our all-covering shield of faith is intact and in place, and it will quench everything that the enemy throws at us. Everything. Do you believe that? Then I have a question for you. Why are we so concerned about the darts? And why are we trying to dodge them? Like Neo in the Matrix. That's as far as I can go back. Okay. And even as fast as he was, he still took two hits. And somebody had to rescue him. When we try and do it on our own, we see it coming. We think we're fast enough to move out of the way. You're not that fast. You're not that agile. You're not that quick. You're not even that smart. And that's not a put down. It's the truth. You don't know what direction they're coming from. Just because, and it happens, it happens in boxing matches. A good boxer, he'll just throw that jab out there. Now, why? Because you're thinking about this. And what are you forgetting about? This. Okay. Then all it has to go is like this, and you flinch, and next thing you know, they're waking you up. Give you some melon salts. Okay. Because you thought you could figure this all out. We can't. And you can't. Despite the fact that you may think you have skills, if you don't have your shield of faith intact, every fiery dart of the enemy will find its mark on you. Daniel was not frazzled. He wasn't worried. He didn't get out of breath from fighting off the lions all night. He probably went to sleep. The person that put him in there couldn't sleep. But Daniel, he had nothing to fear. He was innocent. When the entire nation of Israel, this amazes me. Because when you have an entire nation of people, I mean, even their quote-unquote religious leaders, they're all there standing next to the Red Sea, whining and complaining. Because they don't see how they could just get away from Pharaoh's army. So we might as well voluntarily just go back. God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord this day. Said, see those Egyptians you see today? You'll see them never again. The Lord will fight for you. You hold your peace and remain at rest. See, that's fighting by God's rules. Now you have a choice. You can fight according to your own understanding. You can fight according to what you think are your own skill set. Or you can fight the way God told you and win every time. It's your choice. I can't make it for you. I can only make it for me. But God wants us to have the same assurance, the same confidence that Daniel had, that Jesus demonstrated. And all you have to do is resist it, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and the devil will flee. Let loose a shout and praise, and keep it coming. Keep it coming. And keep your shield of faith intact. And I'll just insert this here, and then I'm done. I already talked about it. You pray, and you keep going. You don't pray and sit and wait until you see what you feel is the manifestation of your prayer. The Bible tells us clearly, this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we will have it. That is our confidence, folks. That's how we have been trained to fight. That's how you stand against adversity. And this is only part one. There's more. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that? You're glad you stayed? Amen. I am also. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord, for taking the time to explain to us again how we are supposed to fight as your children. And really, Father, fight is like a misnomer because all we have to do is submit to you and resist the devil and do what you already told us. Shout praises. Shout thanksgivings. And we'll walk in the victory that you've already provided us. Thank you, Lord, that as each day we'll get a deeper and deeper and deeper revelation about the truth we heard here this morning. And we'll know how and when to apply them. Thank you, Lord, for letting us know that we don't have to do this in our own strength. You are the one who delivers us out of all of it. And show us how to just lean back into your arms and not be concerned about the stuff that the enemy does. We understand now that this is what he does, and he's going to do it every day, all day. We just have to get better at doing what we do, submitting to you, resisting the devil. No matter what happens, no matter what we face, being of good cheer, singing out praises and giving thanks, no matter what, Thank you, Lord. We love you. We're grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.